I'm James Beerley, and I'll be the worship associate today. And our speaker is Lou Ness, who is the director of Shelter Care Ministries here in Rockford. To start today, please rise in body or spirit, and we'll be singing hymn number 360 in your gray hymnal, Here We Have Gathered. Now please remain standing so that we can sing together hymn number 187, It Sounds Along the Ages, which is our hymn of the month for April, 187.
It sounds along the ages.
Please be seated. I have lit the chalice, the symbol of our faith, a beacon of truth, a fire for justice, a warmth for the soul. Let us speak together now the covenant of this church. Love is the spirit of this church, and reason is its guide, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in freedom, and to serve human need. This is our covenant. Now let's sing together our chalice response song. Come into this place of peace, and let its silence heal your spirit. Come into this place of memory, and let its history warm your soul. Come into this place of prophecy and power, and let its vision change your heart. It is our month of revelation, and when I think of what it means to be a person open to revelation, I think about my experiences this year volunteering at the Jubilee House, which is a daytime drop-in center for housing insecure and homeless individuals with a diagnosis of mental illness, which is operated by Shelter Care Ministries. I have seen love revealed in the friendly conversations over coffee that help build a place of belonging. I have seen hope revealed in the stories of those who have overcome their addictions and gotten treatment for their mental illnesses, who now come to the center to share their stories with those who are struggling and to help them along the way. I have seen peace revealed in the way this space functions as a place of calm and respect, where a game of pool or chess can be played away from the harsh winter and the cruelties of life on the margins. I've seen the inherent worth and dignity of all people revealed in new and at times surprising ways. I've taken Arabic lessons from a member, found myself fascinated by hearing about the workings of diesel engines from another, and heard stories of the hard lessons and joys of parenthood and friendship from person after person. But most importantly, I've seen revealed just how fragile and beautiful human beings are. I've seen how much of myself I can identify in the inner life of someone with disabling anxiety or schizophrenia. At the heart of the human condition, we all struggle with competing voices and desires, with addictive impulses, with fear and regret and worry and shame. We all try our best to cope with our economy and our healthcare system, and to do right by the people that we love. I invite you today to think of how you can be a person open to this kind of revelation of our human connectedness, either through volunteering or simply being present with your family or coworkers. Now let us sing together. Please rise and embody your spirit as we sing hymn number 298, Wake Now My Senses, 298.
Thank you.
I invite you now to sit up quietly in your seats, close your eyes if you wish, and turn your attention to your breath and your heartbeat. Join me in a moment of centering. Spirit of life and love, may we who are gathered here today feel ourselves to be vehicles of celebration and gladness at being able to be a part of this world. May we dwell for a moment on flowers and kisses and kittens and trees and put out of our minds all worry and strife. May we be well. May we be happy. May we abide in peace. May we feel safe and secure. May we feel loved and cared for. Let those who we love, who fill our lives with meaning, our partners, friends, cousins, pets, uncles, aunts, parents, children, be glad to be alive this day. May they be well. May they be happy. May they abide in peace. May they feel safe and secure. May they feel loved and cared for. In the spirit of the words spoken long ago by a wise man who said that we are forgiven inasmuch as we forgive those who trespass against us, let us think of those who have done us wrong. May they be well. May they be happy. May they abide in peace. May they feel safe and secure. May they feel loved and cared for. May the entire city of Rockford today know the joy of spring and the hope of tomorrow. May the people of this city be well. May they be happy. May they abide in peace. May they feel safe and secure. May they feel loved and cared for. And we send these blessings out not just to our community, but to the world. May all creatures be well. May all creatures be happy. May all creatures abide in peace. May all creatures feel safe and secure. May all creatures feel loved and cared for. Amen, and blessed be.
A reading by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and where the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still waters, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
A reading now by John O'Donohue. At the end of the day, a mirror of questions. What dreams did I create last night? Where did my eyes linger today? Where was I blind? Where was I hurt without anyone noticing? What did I learn today? What did I read? What new thoughts visited me? What differences did I notice in those closest to me? Whom did I neglect? Where did I neglect myself? What did I begin today that might endure? How were my conversations? What did I do today for the poor and the excluded? Did I remember the dead today? Where could I have exposed myself to the risk to something different? Where did I allow myself to receive love? Whom did I offer love to? With whom today did I feel most myself? What reached me today? How deep did it imprint? Who saw me today? What visitations had I from the past and from the future? What did I avoid today? From the evidence, why was I given this day?
Oh. having me with you today. It is always a pleasure to be at the Unitarian Church, where anybody can be anything they want to be whenever they want to be it. I like that. That is very nice. Conscious living. Conscious living. Now, I know that you're all conscious because you're sitting up in your chairs, your eyes are opened. Most of you are looking at me. I will notice those that drop off, though I won't point to you while I'm giving you this message. But there's a whole nother level of consciousness that is deeper and more profound and more meaningful for us than simply opening our eyes, putting on our clothes, and stepping into the world. I consider myself a very awake person. I see things. I have always looked beyond to the next whatever was there, because I have an innate curiosity that sometimes gets me into trouble, but I'm okay with that. But when I left for DC last April 1st, I had no idea how asleep I had been. And I'm pretty awake. So for the first, 150 miles walking, and I say that with sort of because I'm not a walker, so you should just all know that prior to leaving for Rockford, I made fun of people who walked and said, I would say, oh, what do you do for exercise? And they'd say, oh, I'd walk, and I'd be like, oh, yeah. I'm a cyclist and a hiker. I mean, we do real stuff. Walkers sort of meander, right? I don't make fun of walkers anymore. Walking is gritty, and it requires something. It's also highly meditative and very good for you. So when I left, I was largely by myself. I was with me, myself and I, which is a good thing because I really like me. And so I was great company for a while. And I would talk ceaselessly because I can do that. I'm very good at that. Ask my friends and family and children. But then after about a week, I got tired of me. I had nothing more to say. I had said it all. I'd pondered the great questions of the world. And then I stopped talking to me, and I noticed the world differently, through a different lens, through a way of being that even I had not seen before, where the only companionable sound was the wind, or the chirping of birds, or the rustle of dried grass, because it was not yet spring. Well, it was spring, but it was still pretty brown and barren. I heard things that I had heard a dozen times, right? I'm going to say nothing new to you this morning. You will have heard what I have to say many, many times in many different ways, and yet again, one more time, through my lens or my experience. And in some way, if that sparks something new in you, yay. If not, we'll spend an amiable 15, 20 minutes, an hour, no, I'm only joking, together. The lens of being fully awake, of seeing the world pristine, dropping back my judgments and my opinions and my expectations, what I think things should be, was amazing to me. Was amazing. I was at a dinner party with friends after I got back. And here's the other thing. I got back, and I was, frankly, uncivilized. I've been by myself for 81 days, mostly. I'd been talking to me. I got along well with me, hardly argued with myself. Talked to animals, talked to roadkill. How many of you talked to roadkill? Now, you got to understand that it was right in front of me. Roadkill was right in front of me on US Route 30. It's spring, the deer are running, there's no getting away from it. And so at one point, I was like, look, Lou, here's the deal. Either you just got to accept roadkill and transform it in your own vision, or find a different way to walk, because it's all over US Route 30. And so I got curious about roadkill. And the first one I came upon, I noticed that something had crawled out in the night and started to chew on it. And then things moved in, organisms moved in, and began to do the work that they're designed to do, which is to take apart the carcass, right? Decompose it. In its very final stage, the bones calcify, turn to dust, go back to the earth. It was kind of remarkable. So I'm at dinner, and someone says, "Did you see that raccoon that was killed on the side of the road?" I'm like, "Oh, so what stage of decomp was it in? Like, did you see the? Did you get out and see what were their organs?" She's like, "What? What? Well, did you get?" I probably won't be invited back for dinner to that house. My filter was just gone. And so the road took me back to an innate way of being as a human being, like who we all are originally, without all the distraction and noise and responsibilities and schedules and alarms beeping, you know, alerts, telling us, oh, we have this, we better get to that, you got 10 minutes there. It falls away, and we get to be another living being in the world. In relationship to all life, it is so remarkable. And then out of that experience comes the truly transformative event. I'm not going to tell you what that is yet. I walked through some very tough parts of Chicago, East Chicago, and Gary. And my friends were like, "Oh my gosh, you can't walk through the west side of Chicago." I'm like, "Yes, I can. No one will bother me. It's daytime. People are busy doing whatever they do." And for the most part, nobody bothered me ever. I was never afraid. But I'm doing my first 23-mile day coming out of East Chicago into Gary. And I'm walking down Airport Avenue with my cart. Now, I had apprehension because I'd been walking between 10 and 12 miles a day. And by that time, I'd sort of built this muscle for walking. But 23 seemed a lot to me. And I was very focused. I was not in the moment. You know where I was? I was at the end of the line. And the end of the line was pulling me forth. So I wasn't really in the moment awake. And then all of a sudden, I hear these footprints behind me. Now, Airport Avenue is completely isolated and empty. And what do? You speed up, I speed up, and I hear this guy, and he calls out, and he goes, "Hey, hey, where are you going?" I don't want to tell anybody where I'm going right now. I just want to keep walking. Because what's the first thing somebody says when you say, "I'm walking to Washington, D.C.? What do they say? What's next? Are you awake? What's the question? "You're nuts! Yes, thank you, sir." "What? Are you crazy?" "Oh, yes, I forgot to take my medication today. Yeah." So I say, "Well, I'm walking." "Why are you doing that?" Blah, 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 I tell him. His name is David. Now, David's shoes are held together with duct tape, and his clothes are very tattered. I work with people that are literally homeless, so I know when I'm looking at someone, I know someone who lives rough. You just see it. His skin is very red and raw from being outside. His hands are kind of cracked and dry. And he says, "Are you taking donations?" I say, "David, keep your money." And he pulls out his wallet and he opens it and he says, "I want to donate to the cause." And he's got two $1 bills in his wallet. And he says to me, "Here,
I'll give you one and I'll keep the other. Now, I want to tell you, never in my life, either in enrolling a donor to make a gift or giving a gift, have I ever considered giving 50% of what I have to anyone. I give from my abundance. I don't lean into putting myself at risk. I don't do that, and I'm awake. I almost missed it because I wasn't in the moment. You see, my friends, this is what's so. We have this moment together right now. Right now in this space. This is it. This is it. We don't have 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. We don't have the dinner that I'm supposed to go at my daughter's at 5 o'clock. We don't have that. I don't have 6 o'clock when I got up this morning and started getting ready to come here. It's gone. I can't get it back. This, right here, this is what we have. Together. We don't know. We have no idea whether any of us will make it to the end of the day. So what do you want to do in this moment? Who do you want to be called into the world in this moment? How do you want that to be? What do you want to leave? When I leave here today, what do you want me to know about you? It's the questions that James asked. Every day, the humanity I interact with are mostly the people who come through the doors of shelter care ministries. They are the most fragile, vulnerable people that live in Rockford. They are adults with serious chronic mental illness who are at high risk of homelessness or homeless. And James, thank you so much for your service this year. I didn't know James worked there this year, but Chris, who is here, Chris Howard Swan, works at the Jubilee Center and is also the coordinator of community resources at Shelter Care. So she knows James. And so they are remarkable. We work with families that are literally and chronically homeless. Do you know what that means? That means that they've had an incident of homelessness more than the bubble burst and I lost my house and I can't pay my utility and I lost my job, but I've been working for a long time, so I'll get a job and then I can get back on my feet. These are families who are out of resources, who have never had resources, where there's generational poverty and homelessness or living in your car is a way of life. I am awake to that. These are the people that I am in relationship to in my work, not because I have to, but because I love them. I love them. They are God's most remarkable human beings. Here's what I learned on the walk. No one human being is more human than another. When David gave me his dollar, David didn't say, "Now, are you going to buy alcohol or cigarettes with that? Come on." I mean, people said it to me along the road. "Well, I don't give money because I don't know what they'll do with it." Okay, don't give money. But don't shy away. Don't turn your head down. Don't be aggravated because they've disturbed you on the street asking for money. Say no. If it's no, say no. If it's yes, say yes. Don't make people invisible because you're uncomfortable. You can't figure out what to do. You know, if I have money, I give it. If I don't, I say, "I have no money." It's that simple. It's simple for me. I'm a former Roman Catholic. I got to keep it simple or I'll go to purgatory. And I don't want to take any chances. I've done a lot of dodgy stuff in my life, so I got to earn my way to heaven. Well, that's not true. Look, you either want to be the difference in the world right now, in every moment, awake, or you don't, and it's okay. It's okay either way. You do get to choose that. You know, Viktor Frankl, who was a survivor of the Holocaust, spent 4 years in a number of concentration camps.
said that standing in roll call with no hair on his body completely shaved off, everything that identified him as Viktor Frankl gone, wiped out, except his ability to choose who he would be in that moment and every moment after that. That they could not take that away from him, no matter what they did, because that was in his heart. I want to tell you another story. I walked to Pierceton, Indiana, and I was put up by Holly White at the First United Methodist Church in Pierceton. Now, in Pierceton, Indiana, the town is so poor that denomination has fallen away from the churches. They all get together and care for the people in Pierceton. And the people in Pierceton participate in how they keep each other alive. And so Holly said, well, sure, you know, we'll put you up, we'll give you a meal, will you talk to our youth group? Oh my gosh. Anybody here who's ever talked to a group of teenagers, no offense to the teenagers in the room, I don't mean to be offensive, you have a moment where you're sullen sometimes, where, you know, I say something and they look at me like, oh, did you make a sound? I've raised four teenagers. I know they're shaking their head. I know this is true. It's my experience. And so I say, sure. Sure, I've been walking 16 miles. I'm exhausted, tired, and dirty. And what I want to do is talk to a group of 12 teenagers who don't really want to talk to me. But yeah, because I say yes to everything on the road. And so I'm also a vegetarian. And I made this decision that when I left, I would graciously eat what was ever put in front of me. OMG. That is really interesting. So I sit down at the table and there's a bratwurst right there, like naked, not in bread, just sitting right there, big hunk of meat. And the kids go, wow, bratwurst. And I'm like, wow, bratwurst. Okay, let's just close our eyes, cut this up and just eat it. Be great. How is it good? Oh, yeah, because I want them to like me, right? So I'm not going to say, well, I don't eat meat. I say, oh, it's great. So we get all done, and I'm really trying to buy time. That's what I'm trying to do, because I'm really hoping, like, they'll get busy and want to go away and do something. I won't have to talk to these teenagers. But no, we gather after the bratwurst thing. And they start talking and they ask me questions about the walk. Why are you walking? Where are you going? Why are you doing this? And I talk. And then they start to talk about their famine weekend. They had just had this fasting where they raised money for their local food pantry. And they raised $2,500 for their local food pantry, which their families use to stay alive. And I say, gosh, you guys are just remarkable. And we talk about voting. And one of the young women says, when you see Obama, well, okay, that's probably not going to happen. But I say, yeah, would you tell him something for me? I say, yeah. And she says, you know, we have a lot of people in this country who need our help. What can he do about that? I say, well, if I see him, I will ask him. So we're getting ready to close, and I haven't done too badly, but there's this young man off to my left who hasn't looked at me once. You know, head down. And we're doing closing statements. We go around the room. We come to Luke, to my left, and I say, okay, you're last. He says, you know, Monday night, I said to God, I don't want to come to youth group anymore. But if I come, let something special happen. And then you showed up. Nobody ever comes to the small towns. We never know, do we? We never know what that moment will generate for someone, what that ripple will be like if we show up. If we're awake enough to show up, we never know how we will touch the lives of people around us. And here's the simple thing. We get money from HUD. I'm accountable 12 ways from Sunday for every penny. What do they think I'm going to do with it? Like, go to Cancun? Others have done that. I know that. So I'm not really a Cancun kind of gal. So I'd probably go to the Appalachian Trail if I took the HUD money. Anyway, and we have outcomes we have to meet because we're required. I know Mary Runstead's sitting back there, so I don't want to bash outcomes and measurements because my money is attached to her, so I want to be careful. But when I got back from the walk, I thought to myself, please, it can't be so simple, this thing I learned, which is the single most effective tool we have is to love people to a higher level of being. Like, that's it. I'm thinking, it can't be that simple. It can't be that simple. Because if it were that simple, wouldn't we just all do it? My friends, it's that simple. We show up and we step up and we love people. We offer mercy and compassion in the place of judgment and opinion. And in that space, people show up differently. When I look at all of you through the eyes of love, like you are remarkable people, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see what you're going to do with yourselves. Like, it's so exciting. Somebody in here is going to show up like that. I believe it with 100% of my being. I believe it. People would say to me, do you honestly think you can end poverty? I would say, yes, I do. That is my mission and my call every day. Every day I get up and I think to myself, okay, what do we do today? What can I do today? Now, even though we're awake, we have moments as human beings where we fall asleep, because being awake is exhausting sometimes. You should live with me. You should hear what my family says. My family's like, are you taking a nap for a couple hours? No, come on, we have things to do. Someday I'm just going to drop dead, run out of energy. Don't you think? Okay, I'm distracted. But here's the thing. Friday, I'm doing all my errands and I'm running about and I got a lot on my mind. I'm thinking about stuff because my brain never turns off, right? Now I'm back in the world. I'm not on the road one step at a time. I got stuff to do, places to go to the dry cleaners, blah, blah, blah. I get back home. I walk in the house. Mary Beth, my partner, is quilting. She's doing whatever. 3 hours later, she goes, where's my keys? The keys, I can't remember. I used her car. And so I say, okay, here's what happens. If you tell me to give you something, I can't find it, I know I'll never find it because now I have all this stress and pressure and my brain's working. So take the other keys, and when you get back, I will have found the keys. And she says, did you leave them in the car? I said, no. I would never leave the keys in the car, no. We go to the car. Not only are the keys in the car is running. I say, oh my gosh, who did that? She goes, did you leave the car running? Well, of course I left the car running. I'm the only one driving it. I was so not awake. I was so not in the, I wasn't even in the millisecond. I probably opened the door, got out, and, you know, whatever it was I was distracted by was, and there's the car. I said to James, thank God it was Woodstock and not the west side of Rockford. My car would have been gone, right? Because we know that, right? I work in an area where stuff disappears. Thank God I had the lesson in front of my house. I wasn't awake. I was asleep. I was distracted. We get distracted. The walk taught me that focus one step at a time. I want homelessness to end yesterday. It doesn't happen like that. It's about engaging partners like you all. You are my partners in this room. If you want to be attached to a vision that inspires you so much that you can't wait to get out of bed in the morning, then you should talk to me. Because collectively, together, we can do so much more than we can do by ourselves. And you should do the thing you can do whether people join you or not. Don't wait. Be the call. Be the light. You've heard this all before. I will tell you this. It is possible to end poverty should we decide we want to end it. And if we don't, then we won't. It's that simple. Just like loving people to a higher level of being transforms the world. It does. The newly emerging mystics today give us ways and opportunities to decide how to form our relationship with the holy divine in a way that grows us, that excites us, that challenges and demands more from us than we think we are able to give. It is a tender path. But it's not as lonely as it used to be, because voices and people are aligning around this new identity, that beyond the rational mind, there is the miracle of life-infusing possibility and energy in the world. And it's ours for the asking. It's waiting for us. You can't do it wrong. Someone after the last service said, "What do you think about people who have the capacity to give and don't give?" Well, of course I have an opinion about that. But I walked it out on the road. It shows up occasionally when I'm irritated or whatever. Do what you can. Don't worry about what someone else does. It doesn't matter. If you have a vision and a call, then do it. Don't worry who's not doing it. Just park that. Make it roadkill. Put it aside. Hold on to your vision. I am unsure where this will take me in my journey. I knew that the walk would end at Washington, D.C. But this journey that I'm on, having the walk fit in me now, using it as the metaphor for everything I do or call myself into, I don't know where it will take me. I got up this morning, my plan was to come here and be with you fine folks. But who knows whether I would have gotten here? Who knows if I'll get home? People in Fairdale did not believe in the morning when they woke up that by the end of the day, they would have no community. They had no way of knowing that. People will say to me, "I know we only have the moment." And I say, "No, you don't really get it. Because if you did, you would live differently. You would live every second as though it were your very last, and you would make it count, every second. But we don't do that, because it's hard to keep that going. I invite you, and I look around and I know so many of you are committed to your community, and that's great. Thank you. Now do more. Those of us who can do more, we do more. We keep calling ourselves to the next level of being. Together, if we do this, we will transform the world. I am convinced. I believe it. And we will do this one step at a time.
And now please rise as you are able, in body or spirit, to sing hymn number 134, "Our World is One World." 134.
Thank you.
Please be seated. It's been so wonderful to be together for worship this morning. We do not just live our faith for an hour on Sunday, but throughout our lives. So I invite you to explore this month's theme of what does it mean to be a people of revelation this week? A first step you might take would be to speak with Lou in the narthex or in the fellowship hall after the service and hear some more stories about her walk to end poverty and but perhaps share some stories from your life which relate to the message today. If you want to go deeper into the theme, you can join a Spirit Journey group. See us at the membership desk to find out more, and in your bulletin, you'll also find a variety of events coming up. In a moment, we will take up an offering to support the work of justice and the mercy in the world. 80% of what's collected today will go to shelter care ministries. Thank you for your generosity. And if today was your first day with us, we're especially glad that you're here. If you didn't check in on your way in, please do so on your way out so that we can be in touch. We'd love to see you all next week when Matthew will be preaching about how everything that is holy. If you know someone in your life who could use a message like that, invite them and bring them with you. The offering will now be given and received. I will now extinguish our chalice, and while I do that, I invite you to stand and join hands, if you wish, for our benediction and our blessing. Our benediction today is from Frederick Gillis. May the love which overcomes all differences, which heals all wounds, which puts to flight all fears, which reconciles all who are separated, be in us and among us, now and forever. Amen. Now let us sing our closing blessing. The words are printed in your order of worship. Sure.